Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
We're going to listen to a conversation that Matt had recently with the rugby coach from the Pacific Island nation of Niue. His name is Metric Ikitolagai.
Great to catch up with you. Now, for those who don't know your story, tell us a bit about where you were born and raised.
Yes, I was born in one of the beautiful islands in the South Pacific. It's called Niue Island. It's close to Tonga and Samoa. Yeah, so it's born and bred in Niue.
Okay. And tell us, did you have a religious upbringing?
Yes, yes. You see, all Pacific Islanders, you know, we've all been brought up in that heavy religious background. You know, get up on a Sunday, Sunday's a must, everybody go to church, no chores on a Sunday. So, yes, very heavy and in the early days growing up until I left Niue.
Okay. And what kind of church were you part of? What denomination were you raised in?
The denomination, I think it's like an ALG, Assembly of God, sort of church back in Niue.
Okay, and did you live there all of your younger life, or did you hop around the islands?
Yes, no, I lived there probably until I was, I've only left the island 10 years ago, so probably until my, closing up to my early 30s, and then I left the island. Just got a bit too much in the end. I think just needed a break, go somewhere different and start up again, yeah.
Okay. And tell us a bit about your faith journey. Were you always a follower of Christ, or did you fall away from God at some stage?
Yes, in the islands, you know, it's like I said before, we're brought up into this Christian life, starting at home, but never really gave my life fully gave my life to God probably 2-3 years ago. I spent, left Niue, went to London to play a bit of rugby. And, you know, as you do, different country, you just get lost in the period of forgetting God and not knowing Him. You know, turning into the rugby was the main sort of God. You're idolizing rugby and you know, the everything else that comes with it, the partying, the... So really, really through that period, just really lost and broken. Not until come back to Brisbane about 2015. So me and my wife now, we moved back to Brisbane. But during that time, I stopped drinking at about 2007, just because a lot of problems with drinking. And then, you know, always in the back of my mind to go to church, to seek God again, to try. But it was still a distant relationship, but it wasn't until we came back to Brisbane. And met family here that go to church, and then, you know, slowly coming back into church, and then in that process, you know, really, really, really wanting to get back, seek and know God. So it all started from there, and then I think getting appointed to be one of the core team leaders at a church, I think that's when, you know, really, really gave my life to God and really stopped all these other things that, you know, used to do before, started as a new creation, the old packages, the old me, really started to leave all that behind and seek God, and not seeking the material things of this life. Really started to pull back on rugby, which rugby was number one in my life. Everything else was, you know, second best. It was always rugby. So really started to pull back on that, really started to read the Bible, going through the process of born again, believer, being saved, and just the closer getting into Bible studies and hanging around people that gave me the influence and just the people that really know their word, and that's when it all happens. And and as of now, really, really seeking the truth and really, really, again, just really wanting to know God and wanting to be, as a multiplication tool for His word. And everywhere I go, I'll make sure to plant that seed, whether it's a sports team, whether it's with friends and family, or just at work, you know, just really trying to impact people's lives with the truth. Yeah.
Metric, you're also related to a good friend of mine, Pastor David Vucker. Tell us a bit about that connection.
Yeah, me and David Vucker, we go back, well, a long way back to Niue, being closely related as well. I knew he was always in, I knew he had a church in Australia, so moving back here found, made contact with one of my other cousins, David's brother. I went to his church, and yeah, David asked if he can, you know, come and help, because he was building a church up here on the north side. So he asked if we can, me and my partner can come up and join the core team there to you know, really start to build this church and get it going. So, you know, we accepted the task, and yes, for 2 years we built up that breakthrough church on Northside, fully committing, you know, giving everything we have to really build a church up and going. We really got that going, and really in that process, you know, being a core leader, really fully taking on responsibilities. So it's pretty much like a deacon sort of a role in church, involved in the setup, involved in sound, and pretty much all the ministries. And yeah, just really, really trying to get God's word out to the community here we lived in, and heavily involved in the sporting realm. With fitness and you know, with my background, I think it just really, really worked well being a coach, and then bringing the ministry, just using myself as a vessel and bringing and preaching through that ministry of sports, bringing in the word of God to people. Yeah.
Fantastic, mate. And now, when I was in Papua New Guinea, I was staying at this hotel and saw all these rugby boys there from the Oceania rugby comp, and I chatted to a few of them, found out they were from Brisbane, which was amazing, where I live. But then I bumped into you in the foyer there, and straight away found out that you were so full on for God, and you'd actually told all the team from Niue no alcohol for the trip, and you'd actually run a church service for them. Tell us a bit about what you shared with the boys.
Yeah, well, In the beginning, when we were asked by Niue to run the rugby, I was really seeking for a Bible verse to base the journey on, because you know, I really believe that if we put God in this thing will work. If we put God in the center, we everything involves around it, it will definitely work. So I chose Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, and just really focusing it on Matthew 7, on building strong foundations for the young people and for new rugby. And coming into this, I was just a bit weary as well, because I know that some of the boys in there, you know, they go to church, but they haven't really given their life to Jesus, to God. So coming into camp, you know, the first Sunday, I think it pretty shocked everyone when we were having dinner. The whole team was having dinner before we flew out, and I ran through the code of conduct. I said, you know, there'll be no alcohol. There'll be no, this is the protocols you got to follow. And then all the boys were like, man, we've never been on a tour that have rules and strict laws and regulations that we got to follow. But, you know, fair play to all of them. They followed those rules until all our rugby was done. And I said, man, their last Saturday and Sunday before we left. And I said, man, that's, you know, everything's done now. You guys can relax a little bit. Go and see a bit of P&G, you know. Have a drink, one or two, but not too many. But I think the seed was planted, because even then, the boys, you know, they did went out, but weren't really, you know, their mindsets were changed from what they used to be. They're like I said, a new creation now, and the foundations they have is they're pretty much looking into like a professional rugby player, trying to build strong foundations, trying to recover. If you drink alcohol, you know, your body won't be, I would have a quick recovery period turnaround. So all these things come in, and then for them to listen to a set of rules, I think it was really good, and the tour was successful on and off, you know, off the field and on the field, purely because, you know, we, like I said, based it on a biblical verse, and I told the boys that rugby was a byproduct, you know, that it was just a bonus, but God using myself as a vessel to come in and preach them through rugby, I think that was the winner at the end of the day, because these kids were walking away from camp, talking about foundations, talking about God, talking about, you know, what they're going to do, talking about born again and believing and just being good people. So I think it was very successful for myself in that way.
So, mate, recently you shared a powerful message about God's love and following God with your rugby team. Tell us a bit about why you had to share that message, why it was so important for those young men to hear your message.
Oh, really? I mean, you look at the world we live in now, it's... you know, all these material things young people are following and idolizing instead of really basing it on God. And I think it's hard, because even myself trying to stand up in a room full of people and they'll be laughing. They'll be like, oh, mate, that will never work. Or they'll be like, man, well, why do you have to do that for? But I think if we as individuals, you know, if we really love God and you want to seek the truth from God, I think we just got to be brave and stand up and make a change. And that was, well, my mission was there was, you know, that we've made a choice. We've taken a chance to go in D&G, and I want these kids to change. And I want to be that person that they can walk away from here. And like I said, just if they've learned a thing, two things from rugby, but if they've taken God away, then that's a win for me. So it's really important, Matt, really important. And I coach club rugby here in Brisbane as well. And all the players I have, you know, they're all Christians, but at the same time as well, some are lukewarm, some are on the fence sort of thing. So it's my job in there just to give them a bit of direction and say, hey, man, listen, you know, that was wrong. What you just done was wrong. But if we follow these principles and if we look at Jesus and look at God and look at what they've done, if we just want to follow them, you know, and really believe and be born again and being saved, that's the win for me. And yes, very important.
Now, I'm curious to know a bit about your personal devotions with God. Now, you're a busy guy. You work at Golden Circle. You're also a coach. You're family man as well. What do you do for your personal devotions with God? Do you have like a daily routine where you read the Word? What do you do?
Yes, you know, it starts off with a prayer. Like you know, we start off with a prayer every fortnight on Wednesdays. We just finished one last night. We have a couple of hours of Bible study, just really, really seeking the truth. At the moment, we're doing the Sermon on the Mount, and we're just, we just get together, a few of us just get together and do that, and devotion at home, just reading the Word, reading the Word, yeah, and just really, really like applying it on every day. If I'm on the field, just really, really trying to get, really kind of trying to get the Word to my players, the people at work, so yes. Try and live it 24/7, but you know, like at times we'll have our weak moments and you know, sort of come away from it. But yes, through devotion, through prayer, and through Bible studies and going to church. Yes, mate.
That's good, mate. And before we wrap up, you know, there might be people listening that have never heard the gospel and have never had an opportunity to give their life to Christ. Would you share with our listeners what is the gospel and how do they respond to it?
Yes, I think the gospel means is the good news. It's happiness, you know. It's happiness that we find, but to find that happiness, we really got to be born again, believers, and we got to be saved. So I know it's harsh, but that is the truth for me. Some people might say it another way. They'll be like, "Oh, we need to do maybe a lot of good things to be saved." But for me, I used to think of it like that before. Like I need to be a good person. I need to do this. I need to give things away to think. But once really getting to know God, I think that if we really, really want to get that happiness, we really have to really give ourselves to Jesus, be a born-again Christian, be saved, and try to, you know, mimic the steps of Jesus when he was here on earth for all of us.
That's wonderful, mate. Well, it's so good to hear how your life has turned around and that you're being a great witness in the rugby world. And it's been so good to hear about. I've actually never heard of Newey before, to be honest. when I was up at Papua New Guinea and I bumped into you and I thought, Newey, where is that? So it's an island somewhere near Samoa and Tonga, is it? Is that right?
Yes. Our closest neighbour is Tonga. It's paradise. Not many people, like you said, not many people have heard of it, but... yes, it's right there, close to Tonga, north of New Zealand.
Wonderful. I'll have to come and visit Newey one day, and it's great to hear that you know coaching the Newey Rugby Union team and that you're being a witness for God in that realm. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, mate. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.